led by the Spirit. If ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now this doesn't contradict everything we've said before. The Spirit is the one who has led us to accept the law. The Spirit is the one who has pressed the claims of the law upon us. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will convince you of sin. Sin is transgression of the law. He will convince you of righteousness. All thy commandments are righteousness. We will never discover the meaning of law without the Spirit. We will never discover the meaning of righteousness without the Spirit. We will never discover the meaning of sin without the Spirit. And the final ministry of the Spirit is to show us the judgment, the day of reckoning, that will come to the end. So the man who has been led by the Spirit now sees the whole program of salvation. What then does Paul mean? If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Under the law seems in Romans 6 and here to mean under the condemnation of the law. The Spirit of God is going to lead you out of that condemnation, out of that bondage, out of that sense of guilt that the knowledge of the law brings about in the unregenerate heart. Once you follow the leading of the Spirit, there is no more condemnation. You've accepted Jesus Christ. He has forgiven you your sins. You've accepted His death on the cross. He has declared you His child. You have begun again. You are justified. No condemnation. You are not under the law. You are beginning again. Part number one, Spirit born. How is one born of the Spirit? He begat us by the word of truth. Now no man cometh unto the Father, but the Spirit draws him. Let's settle that. The very fact that we are interested in talking about this topic, the very fact that your neighbor is ready to listen to you, is evidence that the Spirit of God is somewhere influencing. Now the Spirit will drive you to the truth. Thy word is truth, to the Scriptures. There will be a reading of the Scriptures. There will be a comparing of passage with passage, a seeking to discover the program of life. The Spirit is leading you through the Word, to the Word, which is Jesus Christ. And then you suddenly see the kingdom of God, the regnancy of Christ, the kingship of Christ in the human heart. What it means if He only controlled your decisions, your purposes. Once you see that, you are ready to be led along step by step until you are born again of water and of the Spirit. Further changes. You see, you are baptized, you are born again, you are a new creature, you have gone through the spiritual birth. The Word has engendered seed that has conceived and is bringing forth life. Now, practically, Paul told the Colossians, let him that steal, steal no more. All right, the commandment says, thou shalt not steal. Now, what is stealing? I've lived in culture where the people have the bird mentality. Now, a bird can sit on your mango tree and eat all the mangoes it can. It's not stealing. There are some people who have that mentality. They will come in and steal your mangoes. That's stealing. You mustn't do that. My mother, when I was a little baby, lived in a culture where she had a man working for her who believed that anything he found was a blessing from God. If he could take it, he would rejoice that good fortune had come his way. You left your watch on the table. It was not on the table too long. He was thanking his God that he now had a watch. Well, that kind of bird mentality that pecks up and picks up and eats up with a grateful heart anything it gets cannot live in the presence of the commandment, thou shalt not steal. And so the Word and plants a thought in your soul, let him that steals steal no more. Let him that lies lie no more. Let him that reduced the value of life for himself by what he ate or drank, for others by what he smoked, let him not do it any more. Let him not covet. Let him not work to compare himself with the Joneses and be better than them. Let him not allow his emotions to run away over the fence to desire what he can never have. Don't do that. Now this is the word that's the seed. And the Holy Spirit will nurture that until these ideas become practically carried out by grace in the life of the individual. Then we become the child of God. We are the sons of God. The Spirit of God is now in us. Satan has been cast out. Satan may tempt and say, if you're the Son of God, do this, do that, do the other. But we must say, I don't play tricks. I don't take on a dare. I am a child of God because it is written, and I accept what is written within my life and personality to lead me and mold me and guide me all the days of my life. Part number three, when we are led by the Spirit who brought us to Christ, who brought us to the law, who brought us to a realization of sin, who brought us to an acceptance of grace and confession and forgiveness and restitution and baptism and a desire to do what is right and a yielding to Him. Spirit has done all that. Man can do nothing himself. Thereafter, we must walk in the Spirit. And Scripture uses the term walk to mean a manner of life. My journey from here to paradise. Enoch walked with God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? I say, walk in the Spirit. And if you do that, to fulfill the lusts of the flesh will be an impossibility. How can I fulfill the lusts of the flesh and repudiate the friend by my side, who's taking me by the hand, who's embracing me with the everlasting arms? How can I go away with such a lover by my side and do something wrong? So a conscious realization of the program of the imminent presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is going to be the bulwark and help to enable us to walk. Now Paul says, the flesh lusteth after the flesh and is against the Spirit. It cannot do what is right. And if we are still fleshly, we want to do what is wrong. Now what have we got to do? I think of that story of the man who wanted a healing in his family. And the Lord says, if you believe, you can have it done. And he says, Lord, I believe, but I don't believe. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Help it. And immediately the Lord did. And if we come to the Lord and say, Lord, my faith is pretty flimsy. I love you, I want to do it, but I'm a mess. I can't do it. I've tried and failed 1,000 times. You take over now. Please help me to remember before I fall into sin. Then we will discover His presence will never leave us. It will be there by our side when we need Him most. Part number four, the curse of the law. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in the things of the law to do them. In other words, what is the curse? When Adam and Eve were cursed, it was because they broke the law. When we read in Deuteronomy, if you don't do this, the curse will come. If you don't do that, the curse will come. If you don't do that, the curse will come. If you do that, the curse will come. So if you don't do, or you leave undone what you ought to do, then you are cursed. Now, if I tried from now through the millennium to do the works of the law, I would benefit nothing. Because, as I said a lesson or two ago, the sins of my past are what doom me. And until Jesus Christ has taken care of the sins of the past, the works of the law will do me no good. I'm still where I am, under the curse. But once I accept, once Christ has blotted out my sins, once He has declared me just, as if I had never sinned, then, by His grace, I become a doer of the law. I will live with them, with Him, with success. Christ bore the curse. He died for me. He took care of the sins of the past. He gives me a second chance. And He says, Les, get with it by my grace, and I will never leave you. And when I do, I find His presence there. And His presence spells victory. Part number 5, not under the law. As we thought a lesson or two ago, under the law means under the condemnation of the law. When I have confessed my sins, the law cannot point a finger of condemnation to me. I am ready to start out in the new way of living, Christ's way, because He now is in me. I am not concerned with my past. He has buried it in the depths of the sea. He is forgiven. He is forgotten. He is blotted out. I begin again. I am His child. He leads me. I am a member of His family. He gives my spirit. He gives His spirit to me, to be my spirit, to rule my spirit. Now the law has got no condemnation to me. I am not under it. I'm free. I can drive down the highway all day, every day at 55 miles an hour, in 55 mile an hour zone, perfectly free. That's what I'm allowed to do. I'm obeying the law. I haven't got a care in the world. It's when I'm breaking the law that I have got that horrible pressure over me that I am going to be arrested. Part number 6, focus of the week. We have been studying this week about being led by the Spirit. And the Spirit leads us all through life. Before even we thought, before we awakened to the need for salvation, the Spirit was there working. It used circumstances, friends, the Word, the preacher, any factor it could, to arrest my attention so I could begin to see the kingdom of God. Then it led me through the other steps of acknowledgement of sin, of confession of sin, of forsaking and retribution, of baptism, of the beginning of the new life, of the relationship of loving to doing and faith to doing and doing to faith, all as it has to do with Christ. Brings me every step of the way. Till now I realize that if I consent, He will so identify Himself with my thoughts and my feelings, my emotions, my drives and ambitions. He will so control me if I let Him, that when obeying Him, I will be but carrying out my own impulses. This is what it means to be led by the Spirit. And he who comes to the place when he obeys, just as easily as he carries out his own impulses, is like Enoch, one step from translation.